Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard, I know you join me in saying that as we open today's program, we do so with great degrees of both joy and sadness at the loss just yesterday of our great longtime friend and chairman of the board at Basic Gospel, Rich Andreessen. I know you both will want to add your own thoughts about Rich, but I will say that Rich Andreessen loved his Lord. He loved the message of the New Covenant, and he loved this ministry that had made such a difference in his own life and in the lives of certain ones that were closest to him. As chairman of the board here at Basic Gospel, when it came to business, the business of the ministry, as I know you guys know, Rich, a retired Delta Airlines captain, was kind of a no-nonsense type of guy. But beyond that, he was among the most generous people that I've ever known. I was blessed to be present at the moment of his passing, along with his brother Tom, sister-in-law Ingrid, his dear friends Leanne and Patrick, and Maddie, his beloved friend of many years. Rich's final months and weeks and days were difficult, but in his passing, it was as peaceful as you could possibly imagine. At a point in time, 5:22 p.m. yesterday, with those that he loved most at his side, Rich Andreessen simply turned out the lights and went home. He will be deeply missed.
He will be deeply missed. As I've said often over the last number of years, when he was named chairman of the board back in, 2013,
yeah.
He was the right man for the right job at the right time. And he helped navigate our ministry through some very tough decisions that we had to make, and has brought us through that in a very wonderful and powerful way. And I think our ministry is on as solid ground, as solid footing as it's ever been, much to the leadership of Rich Andreessen.
Right.
We've known Rich for so many years.
A lot of years.
He came to Christ through a Bible study that we did at the Aerobic Center back in the 80s. Somebody invited him. He had some questions about Christianity, and he was able to get those questions answered and came to know Jesus. And boy, was it a true, genuine conversion. And he flew for Delta, was a wonderful pilot, flew international routes mainly, retired a number of years ago. And since retirement, he's been in the investment world, real estate primarily, but he has spent the bulk of his time and energy and efforts to help advance Basic Gospel. And we couldn't be more grateful for his leadership, more appreciative of his friendship. He was a guy that was no nonsense. He would tell you the way he saw it. He was extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, he would examine things and say, we need to do it this way or need to do it that way. He was instrumental in helping us find our current office facilities. He has helped in so many different ways. But he has as you said, he had a genuine love for Jesus Christ. And he would call or send me an email quite often and say, I have this friend or my goddaughter or my niece. And how do I go about really sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? And last Sunday, more than a week ago, he called me at about 6:45 in the morning and said he was in the hospital and said, if I'm a gambling man, I don't give myself more than a 10% chance of getting out of this hospital. He had internal bleeding. He had a rare lung disease, was trying to get on a list for a lung transplant. That was his only real hope for curing the illness that he was suffering from.
Right.
He checked himself into the hospital, internal bleeding. They tried to get the bleeding stopped. They took him in for surgery. They did some things and were able to stop it for a brief period of time. At that point, it looked hopeful. It looked like he would get out of the hospital, and they would set a course of treatment for him that would prolong his life for a number of years. But midway through last week, the situation turned. It worsened. They saw that cancer was in the lining of his lung walls. It was a very aggressive form, and he just went downhill from there.
Yeah.
But in that conversation, I asked him if he was afraid to die. And he said, Bob, what do I have to fear?
Right.
I'm in Christ. And that's how he approached death. I think the truth and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ anchored him to that hope that we have in the Lord. And it was very apparent.
Yeah.
And the moment he died, as you were there with him, it was peacefully. He just went into the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
And that is the great hope. I've communicated this to a couple of people, letting them know that Rich passed away yesterday. And they're like, oh, my, what he is experiencing right now,
right.
Absent
yeah.
from the body and present with the Lord. We're going to miss him, but we would never want to call him back.
No.
Knowing what he's experiencing, seeing his Lord face to face.
I mentioned to his friends and his family that were gathered there yesterday that in his career as an airline pilot, he delivered many, many people to many places very, very safely. During his participation and his support and his love for this ministry, he also helped to deliver many, many people out of darkness and into light. And so that is Rich Andreessen.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, I think of two things in particular. One, he often called me about his computer. There was a constant
Be careful
fight.
With this, Richard. Many people may start calling you about their computer. So.
You really don't want to.
He'll just send them to Greg.
Yeah. But it was a constant fight to the death with a computer with Rich, because he wanted to do certain kinds of things. And,
yes.
And it was always in terms of helping somebody else, doing something for somebody else, and quite often just getting all tied up in the hardware and the software issues, and it was my pleasure to help him where I could, and that was my introduction to Rich. He would ask me these esoteric questions about computers, and he took my word for it, and still kept calling, so something was going well, and the other thing is food. If you knew anything about Rich, he was a foodie.
Yes.
He knew where to eat. He knew how to eat. And not just here in Dallas. Name a city anywhere in the world, and he could tell you two or three restaurants that were worth going to.
He would tell you the name of the chef. He
yes.
would tell you what waitress to ask for or waiter to ask for. He would tell you which section of the restaurant that you should eat in. It's quieter in this corner versus
yes.
that corner.
Yeah.
He would tell you what to order. And one of the things about Rich, hospitality was his
yes.
gift. He
wow.
loved to entertain, and one of the things that he did for us quite often was to take us to lunch whenever we met as a board of directors, the board of directors for Basic Gospel. He always took the entire board out for a wonderful dinner together, a time of fellowship, and that was his thing, and he loved doing that.
Yeah.
And we talked to one of his good friends, Maddie, this past week, and Rich had agonized a little bit over our last board meeting, how to arrange the table, where to place everybody
yes.
so that everybody could get the full enjoyment of that particular dinner. But that was our friend, that was our brother, that was our chairman of the board. He was,
yeah.
as I said, a pilot, a captain for Delta. And a lot of times we would hear him say, a pilot always has a plan.
Yeah, captain has a plan.
The captain has a plan. And he certainly did. And yeah. I think he knew when he went into that hospital that the plan that God had for him was to bring him home.
Yeah.
And, Bob, you got to witness that yesterday. So glad that you were there to be an encouragement to his group of friends, his family that were gathered around him. And y'all all watched him as the Lord took him home.
Yeah.
And we just want to publicly say to our listenership, many of you may have never met Rich. He's been on the broadcast a couple of times. But you are listening to this program today. At the radio station that you're tuned into, or you're listening on basicgospel.net or through our app, Rich was instrumental in helping to bring all of this about through his financial support, through his leadership, and through his deep abiding devotion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are the beneficiaries of God's work through Rich Andreessen, and we'll be eternally grateful for the impact that he has made in our lives and the lives of so many people around the world.
Without question. Bob and Richard, thank you for your thoughts on this as well. Friends, we would love to hear from you. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. As I said at the beginning, that is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We're here to address your question or your particular subject or topic, and we would love to hear from you right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Denver, Colorado, and we are going to talk to James, listening to us on our great affiliate, KRKS, out there. Hi, James.
Hello.
Welcome to Basic Gospel. You are on the air, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a friend. He is 65 years old, and he told me he would like to come to Jesus Christ. But he doesn't want to spend much time to go to church because he's old. He likes to spend most of his time to go places like a vacation or go camping just to kill time. You know, I just don't know what to tell him. I'd like to know what you have in mind for a person.
Well, James, if somebody is an unbeliever, somebody is lost, what Jesus wants for that person more than anything is for that person to come to Jesus and receive life. I mean, that is the only offer that's on the table right now. A lot of times people will say things like your friend is saying, you know, if I come to Christ, I'm going to have to go to church, or if I come to Christ, I'm going to be sent to some remote place in the world and become a missionary, and they let those things kind of cloud their vision to what's really on the table. And what the only thing that's on the table for your friend is this offer of life from Jesus Christ himself. And I would try to keep it right there.
Yes.
Come to Jesus, and Jesus will take care of the rest. If he doesn't want to go to church, I guarantee you, once he comes to Christ, Jesus is going to take care of that. He won't have to worry about that. So it won't become a burden to him. Right now, he looks at it as a burden. It's something that's going to interrupt his plans and his ideas of what life should look like going forward. Well, I tell you, he doesn't have life right now. He is dead spiritually. And the only person that can solve that problem for him, the only person that can give him life, is the one that who has life, and that is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So you lead him to Christ. You keep it focused on Christ. And I think paint the picture that, hey, you're dead. You are separated from the life of God, and Jesus is offering you his very life right now. Do you want life, genuine life, that will enable you, once you die physically, once you take your last breath, to be absent from this body and present with the Lord, to experience true, genuine, eternal life? That is the offer on the table. Just focus right there on that. And if he comes to Christ and receives Christ, is made alive in Christ, then Jesus is going to take care of that church question for him. I guarantee you.
I see. Okay. All right. I do have another question. Do you have any kind of material for new believers?
We do. And I would be glad to send you our new believers packet. We have a Bible study guide. We have a couple of, we have a little booklet on forgiveness. We have a CD that explains the gospel and gives an invitation to come to Christ. So we have lots of wonderful resources, and we would love to put those in your hand.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I would appreciate, yes.
Okay. You hold the line, and we will send those to you. Okay, James?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. And keep us posted on your friend.
Yes.
And
please.
If he would like to call the broadcast, encourage him to pick up the phone and call us. And we would be glad to walk him through those questions that he has.
Sure.
Thanks, James.
I will let him know. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, James. You hold on.
Many times we hear from people who are concerned about their friends and loved ones, and James, of course, is no exception. We appreciate the fact that he wants to reach out to this friend and make sure that he comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call all across the country. We want you to take advantage of the number right now. We are live. It's during the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, and so we are live, and we would love for you to pose your question just as James did, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, guys, a question from Daniel who would like to know about repent and repentance. Is forgiveness contingent upon repentance or repenting?
Well, forgiveness, I mean, we try to equate the two, that you repent for the forgiveness of sins, but repentance is a much bigger word than that. It's that process by which God takes us from a state of unbelief to a state of belief in Jesus Christ. So it's really about going from death to life. It's a life and death issue.
Yes.
So it's that big, it's that important. And how does that repentance take place? Well, it's initiated by God. We would never repent just on our own. God's grace has to start that process for us. And how grace starts that process is by showing us the person and work of Jesus Christ, revealing to us the story of his death, his burial, and resurrection. And when we start to see what that really is and what that means to us, then our hearts are moved from the things of this world where we're trying to find life and meaning and purpose and happiness and all of those things. Our hearts and minds are moved from that to the Lord Jesus, and we recognize in him that he is life, that he is our source of meaning and purpose, that we only need to go to him to find everything that we're looking for. Well, that process of moving us from unbelief to believe is called repentance. And Richard, you've looked at that definition a number of times. I guess basic definition is a change of mind.
Yes.
But it's even more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's not just, you know, I decided I like chocolate milk rather than orange juice for this particular meal. It is the change of focus, and the way you described it was perfect. From unbelief to belief in Jesus.
Yes.
As soon as I've fixed my eyes on Jesus, that's when the repentance has taken place.
Yes.
Because before I had my eyes on everything else, and now I've got a focal point, and that focal point is the key underlying issue for repentance. And when Jesus is that focal point, then forgiveness comes along for the ride, because in him we have forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
So repentance and forgiveness are related, but you don't have to repent in order to get forgiveness. Most of the time we think about repentance as saying, oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, that's not what repentance is about.
Yes. That's a corrupted version of repentance. It doesn't really hold true with what the Word of God is really saying. Repentance really is that change of mind. It's moving our hearts away from the world, being centered in the world, and moving them to being centered in Jesus. We have a great visual of that. We had a great visual of that not too long ago when we visited Israel. We went to a little town called Beth Shean. In Jesus' day, it was known as Scotopolis. It was one of the 10 Gentile towns of the Decapolis, which we read about in the gospel accounts. Well, it was a very Roman town, and Roman architecture always built the town around what they called a cardo, or a cardo maximus. And that's where the center of the town's life was.
Yes.
And in those days, the Roman way of life was certainly not biblical. It was everything to excess. It was a debauched life.
Yeah.
So right in the heart of the town were brothels, were bathhouses, were all of those things that would help people gratify the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a perfect picture of where we were before we came to know Jesus. We were following the ways of this world, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 2. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was the center of our life.
Yes.
Well, through repentance, God moves us away from that. He actually cuts away that aspect of our hearts and moves us over to Christ. So our new cardo maximus is Jesus Christ himself. Our lives are now centered in him. That's what repentance is all about. Now, when we look at the word repentance in the New Testament, the vast majority of times that it is mentioned, that it is used, it always deals with salvation.
Yes.
Okay? There's only, I think, one or two times that it relates or refers to repentance of sins for believers. So the idea in repentance of sins for believers isn't to do this in order to get forgiveness. It's to say, hey, I had a misunderstanding about this area of my life, and Lord, I want you to change my mind and move my heart and mind to the center of Jesus in this particular area.
Yes.
So it's a much deeper thing than just, hey, I repent, so now I can check off God's forgiven that sin.
Yeah.
No, in Christ, you're already forgiven. You already have forgiveness. So repentance is just getting this mind of ours to align with the truth.
Yeah. Daniel, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you.
Well, thanks. Let's go to Arlington, Texas, and talk with Jeff, who's listening to us on The Word. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Doing just fine. And real quickly, I just want to say thanks for your ministry and how brave I really think you guys are. It's a brave ministry because you guys, you know, take on questions every day. You never know what question's going to come, and we're not, none of us perfect, so it's not, you know, it's not an easy thing.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Thanks for the encouragement.
It's not an easy thing to do. Yeah. My question is, I've been listening to you guys every day for a long time. I've got a friend that I've known for 36 years, and he is just next to genius. Okay, I mean, he's a very intelligent guy. His parents were, who have both gone to see the Lord now, were history teachers. And he lost them both within 5 years of each other. Got an $80,000 inheritance and, you know, blew that, messed it up. Got on alcohol and drugs and all that stuff, you know, from just having too much money at the same time that he lost both his parents. But he's always been just a really intelligent guy. And so for that reason, I've held off, you know, sharing the gospel with him my whole life, even when I've known it for 25 plus years, for sure. And I, because I knew I was going to have a really good defense for it. He's that smart. You know what I mean? He's just
right,
one of those
right guys.
I don't know if you know, and in life, you know, you meet some of those people and you think, wow, y'all better be ready before I pitch this at them.
Well, Jeff, let me do this. We're almost out of time.
Okay,
let me put some resources into your hands that I think will be helpful to your friend. And when you're talking to him, it's really not about, you know, his problems. It's all about Jesus. And just bringing the information to him about Jesus, the clear teaching of the Word of God. And let the Word of God do its work in his life. I mean, you have the Word of God on your side. You have the power of the gospel on your side. Just bring that to him and let the power of the gospel do its work. Well, you hold on, okay, and we'll get you that information.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Christianity could be defined as a cold case. You know, it makes a claim about an event from the distant past for which there's little forensic evidence. In the book Cold Case Christianity, J. Warner Wallace uses his nationally recognized skills as a homicide detective to look at the evidence and eyewitnesses behind Christian beliefs. Cold Case Christianity taps into the intense interest that we have in detective stories that inspires and prepares readers to have confidence in Christ and to articulate the case of Christianity. A copy of Cold Case Christianity is our way of saying thank you for standing with us with your support of Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for being with us today. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.